Become an effective worshiper of God as you join us today for Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hello again, and welcome to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. On today's broadcast, we're going to take a look at King David's preparations for the building of the temple. A big part of that involved lining up the musicians and putting them into place. We'll find helpful instruction on the power of worship and praise as we do. Let's head over to 1 Chronicles chapter 25 as we begin with some review. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Chronicles, and we're in chapter 25. So we've been moving along here, and this is very interesting chapter. I don't know how many of you cheated and read all the names in front of the mirror. That's your assignment, remember? There's some great names there. I don't know why we don't name our kids like it's Hebrew, and it was easy for them. It's not easy for us. Okay, last week, David's temple. Remember we mentioned that. And you go, no, it's Solomon's temple. No, it's David's temple. Why? Because, hey, listen, he bought the property. He was led of the Lord to the property. He collected the materials for the temple. And he set the Levites and the priests in order to manage the temple, and now guess what he's doing? He's lining up the musicians and putting them in their place as far as the worship in the temple. So tonight we're going to look at the power of worship and praise. It is unbelievable. Now, turn over with me to chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, verse 5. 23:5. 4,000 praise the Lord with the instruments, and this is an interesting statement, which I made, said David, to praise therewith. The one that made the instruments. So we're going to look at the importance of worship and of music. There's a scripture back in Ephesians, just mark it down, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and he says to us today, you know, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that singing and that praise in the church. And they did it a lot in the beginning of the church. We do it a lot today. I know there's some sects that say there's not to be any musical instruments in the church. I pray for them. They're missing out on all the beauty of the instruments praising God. Let the cymbals and the drums. I think there's a psalm about that way back there in Psalm 150. And praise unto the Lord. So I thought that's interesting, as David was the creator of those instruments. He was a warrior, and yet he was a worshiper. And he was strong in both areas. When he fought hard. And he beat the enemy back. And he overtook the enemy, and he took the land. And he did that which was going to bring peace to the kingdom of Solomon, his son. It is an everlasting kingdom that the scripture told us, which we know it wasn't Solomon. It wasn't speaking of Solomon. It was speaking of the one that was going to come to bring shalom. And that's Solomon's name, is from shalom, peace. And there was an incredible peace during his reign. So what we're going to look at this evening is we're going to take off and we're going to go somewhere else for a moment. We're going to get back to our chapter. But why was David a great musician? Why was he a great worshiper? And what were the qualifications to, what is today? What is the qualifications for us to be a worshiper of God? So we can really worship him. I'm not talking about just song. I'm talking about in our lives. How can we become true worshipers of the Lord as David was? So let's go and hold your marker there at 1 Chronicles 25. And let's go now to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Back a ways. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here we have an interesting chapter about David being anointed as king. And you'll remember the story. Samuel came in and talked to Jesse, the father of David, and said, you know, we're looking to anoint someone to be king. And we came to your sons and we wanted to just look at them and see them. And so he looked on Eliab, and this is in verse 6 of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, because he stood there so tall, you know, 6'6". I mean, buff, you know, just standing there, good-looking young guy, man. I mean, but with a face that, wow, I've been around, you know. I know what's going on. And so, wow, he said, surely this is the Lord's anointed, kingly-type-looking person. Whoa. And then it says in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, hey, look not at his countenance, nor in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, is this all you got, Jesse? Is this all the kids you have? And he lined them up. They were huge. They were wow. They were all buff. They were all kingly characters. And then finally he says, is this it? This is all you got? He goes, no. No. Verse 11. He says, my youngest, my little dude, behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said, well, bring him in here. We want to see this little dude. Fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes. In other words, they sent for him and they brought little David in. He was a ruddy little guy. He'd been out in the sun a lot. He was red, you know, just a little guy. Ruddy is the redness of him, and he's just an outdoorsman, and with all a beautiful countenance, because he just looked healthy. He's eating that good wheat out there and, you know, not eating the McDonald's stuff. And, you know, he just looked healthy. And so his countenance was beautiful and it was goodly to look to. In other words, you just went, wow, what a good looking kid. You know, he's just good looking. And the Lord said to Samuel, rise, anoint this boy. Whoa. It blew everybody away. How and why was David to be anointed? He wrote, we know of, not only did he make instruments, I think he learned as a kid, out there taking care of the sheep, he played the flute, you know, to calm the sheep. He probably he made the flute to calm the sheep. He worshiped with the flute. He caused the flute to worship God. Have you ever heard an instrument that worships God? Anybody's heard? I don't need to build him up. Don't listen, Rodrigo. But Rodrigo Rodriguez. Do you know, anybody know him? He's been here. He can make his guitar praise God. And you can close your eyes. And we'll get to that in a minute, about what that can do to an individual. But David, he was good. He wrote 73 hits. They're in Psalms. 73 of those psalms are David's. He wrote them, and he played for the instrument. He made the instruments, you know, wrote the psalms that were sung and everything. So, to those who want to be worshipers, there's 10 things needed to be effective. 10 things that David had to cause him to be the musician that he was, the worshiper that he was in his life. And it really makes the difference, because we see that verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his big brothers that are standing around going, I mean, what's the little brother getting the anointing for? This is so wrong. We're the ones that we want this. God said, no. I see the heart. I know the heart. God knows our hearts. He sees our hearts. He doesn't look how man looks. And we've got to say, Lord, help me to have your eyes. Help me to see as you see. Because we judge so much. We judge so much. And it's just, boom, we see somebody. Yeah, that's that guy. I know what he's all about. Look at it. Look at the way he looks, you know. And we go by outward appearance, don't we? So he's anointed. And notice this, that in the midst of his brethren, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon, there's that word upon David. He was literally with the oil coming down him, and they poured oil on you. He was actually inside being baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with God's power to do the work. Spirit-filled, that's the first qualification to be a worshiper, a true worshiper, one who loves God, one who has been raised in the ways of the Lord and knows better. He's filled with the Spirit. And he is the one who begins to praise and to worship in his life. And he wants his life to be used in that way, to affect others. So, God deals with our heart. He changes our desires. That's how he deals with it. He gives you a new heart. He creates a new heart. Create in me a new heart. And he changes our desires to be his desires. That's how it happens. It's not by our might, by our power. It's by his Spirit. So David was filled with the Spirit. David wanted to go God's way. And he received the anointing. And that's the beginning of the whole story here. Now, Saul has been tormented. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has left him. And David saw it, and everybody saw it. It was horrible. Can you imagine? At one time, Saul's prophesying. He's walking in the ways of the Lord, and he seemed to be a good king, and all of a sudden, you know, he's not. All of a sudden, his heart turned. And David cries out in Psalm 51, you know, restore unto me, you know, the joy of my salvation. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And he was thinking of Saul, because he knew what happened to him. He was in torment, because when God takes his hand off, everything changes. He went mad. But what's great today is when God gives his Spirit to those who ask him, he stays with you forever. John 16:14. Forever. He says, I'm going to give you a comforter, and he will be with you forever. So he's not taking his Spirit from those that are bad and go bad a little bit. He just deals with us. He deals with us. He loves us. So he's working with us. So we know the story. Saul was chasing David all over the hills, and he was angry. He was mad. He threw spears at David. And David didn't throw them back at him. He didn't touch God's anointed. He was very patient, and eventually God just removes Saul altogether. That's what happens. God intervenes, and his will be done, and he was removed and taken out of the... And he was removed in a very interesting way. An Amalek, which is a type of the flesh, that he was supposed to obey the Lord and kill all the Amalekites, or the Amaleks, and he didn't kill the king, and he kept all the sheep, and he kept all the good things of the Amalekites and the good people. And God says, what are you doing? You disobeyed me totally. What happened with that is the Amalekites continued on, and an Amalekite eventually killed Saul. You see, if you don't deal with the flesh like God asks us to deal with it and to understand it and to come against it, knowing it's one of your worst enemies, then it will take you out. This flesh, this pride, this sin, this sin factory will take you out. So we got to deal with it. And yet, Jesus hung on that cross, and Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. That's powerful. Crucified with Christ. See, we can identify with what he did on that cross and die to self. Saul didn't do that. But, verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And verse 16 says, well, let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man. See, they saw that the king was hurting bad, and he was losing it. Let's get a man who is cunning, who is a cunning player on the harp. So number one, filled with the Spirit. Number two, a cunning player on the harp. You see, David was cunning in that he was mature, he was sensitive, and, you know, he knew how to use that harp. He knew how to use that instrument of worship to the glory of God. And that's what a real true worshiper or a musician who is really being used of the Lord does. He doesn't get into the thing of hyper praise, you know. You know, some churches, they get into this hyper mode, you know, with their praise. That's not cunning. That's just, and everybody's jumping around and, yeah, you know, it's like, whoa, calm down. You've had a rough day anyhow. You don't need this mode, man, where flesh is involved. We need to sit before the Lord and worship him and really get into this blessing of worshiping him. And that's just sweet worship. So a man that's cunning player on the harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit of God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. In other words, they said, we can get somebody who really knows how to worship and play his instrument, that there's going to be a difference in the way he's acting. And so these are the qualifications of a worshiper. And then he says in verse 17, Saul said unto his servants, listen, provide me now a man that can play well, that can, and I'm add to this, that can sing well. And make a joyful noise.
The reason I don't sing is because I sound like a frog or whatever. Or the reason I don't sing is because people around me will be grieved.
No. You make a joyful noise. You make it, man. And it'll all blend together. God takes that. He wants that. And you need to do it because when you see this, it's really therapeutic. It's really what we all need to make a joyful noise. So an experienced worshiper, and you know, he grew up as a child. Parents, listen. He grew up as a child with the sheep, worshiping, making his instruments, praising God. And we need to sing songs with our kids. We need to, you know, stand behind. When they come out of Sunday school and say, Father Abraham, get with it.
When they sing the little songs about being strong in Jesus, get with it. Do it as you drive places. Sing with them. They will end up being worshipers. They will end up understanding this is good. This is one of the best things we can do in just, you know, worshiping him as we're driving around. We did it for so many years with our kids, and they ended up being worshipers. So that's needed. Now, verse 18 says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, the son of Jesse, the Benjamite, that is, we need someone who is cunning in playing." Now, that's an interesting statement, cunning in playing. He knows the right song to sing at the right time. He knows when it's a time for a happy song, and knows when there's a time for a worshipful song. So he is cunning in his playing. He's a mighty, valiant man. He stands in the Lord's power and in the Lord's might. He is strong in the things of God. And so he praises with, you know, to the Lord. A strong, mighty, valiant man. He's a man of war. He understands spiritual warfare. He understands that part of our praises and our worship is a part of our winning spiritual warfare. And we'll talk about that tonight. And a prudent in matters. He's prudent in matters. In other words, he says a little thing. He says very little things, but he sings a lot. You know, I used to hate when guys would come up and lead worship, and all they would do is talk. Hey, you're supposed to be leading us in worship. Yeah, but I got this testimony. I got to share this. And then God just showed me this the other day. And all of a sudden, they're preaching and they're teaching and they're not worshiping. Those that are worshiping will know that that's what is needed at the time, and they will worship. So he sings a lot and he worships.
We'll pause right here for just a moment, and Pastor Jeff Johnson will be back with more on the power of worship and praise here on Sound Doctrine. You can listen to us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. You know, many people have questions about the end times right now, like how close are we to the Lord's return? Well, not long ago, Pastor Jeff visited Israel. While he was there, the Lord gave him a word to share with the body of Christ. It's detailed for you in a special DVD. It's called End Times Scenario, and we'd gladly send it to you for just $10. Stop by sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Please remember, your gifts help to make all of this possible, so thank you for standing with us. Again, at sounddoctrineradio.org. We realize some of you are hurting right now, and others greatly discouraged by what all has been taking place. We'd love to pray for you. Email those prayer requests to us, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Now again, we're looking at the qualifications of a worshiper and how to be effective in worship. Here's Pastor Jeff once again.
And then finally it says, a comely person. He's charismatic, but his flesh is under subjection. He's not puffed up. He's not flashy in what he does. He is not trying to attract attention to himself. You know, how somebody will stand up in the middle of the service and go like this. Anybody see that guy? Everybody else is sitting down. Now, I don't mean to say you can't stand up in here. We allow you to stand up, but hopefully you're doing it in the spirit and you're not doing it to just, hey, everybody see me? We've got to wonder about that, you know? When we're all standing, it's cool. When we're all sitting, it's great. But then when one stands, guess who's seen?
So, I mean, this individual is not that type of person. He's a very comely person. And it says in the end of that verse, and the Lord is with him. That's very needful. The Lord is with him. He's with us in the public arena. He's with us in the privacy of our home. But we walk with God. He is Emmanuel to us, God with us. Public, home, church. May God help us to be real in all the arenas. The Lord is with him.
Yeah, we'll share the rest of this message from 1 Chronicles tomorrow here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,